Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
When the confusion of culture clouds your vision and your perspective, the Word of God gives clarity. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to discover 2020 vision by reclaiming God's perspective on today's circumstances. Stay with us. Seems like the busyness of our lives and the chaotic nature of our culture at large tends to draw us into somewhat of a cloudy perspective of our lives and our purpose and why we're even here and what our lives are even about. And if you're like me, that's frustrating. But when you come to the Word of God, God tends to draw away all of the clouds and give you crystal clear perspective on what's important and what really matters. Welcome to today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. We're going to gain 2020 vision today from the Word of God, a series by Pastor Chappell that's designed to help you have God's vision and God's perspective on the priorities of life. 2020 vision is the title of this series, and we're looking forward to every step in the journey. If you miss one of the messages, or if you'd like to hear recent broadcasts of Daily in the Word, visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. By the way, we have a gift for you when you call or write to us this month. I'll tell you about that after today's message. But first, here's Paul Chappell to introduce today's message.
When I have the right view of my life through the lens of the Word of God, it always brings hope to my heart. There's no more perilous pursuit than a life lived out of a selfish vision or selfish ambition. Today we learn of the hope that a godly vision brings. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 27 and find the hope that God wants to give to each and every one of us.
There are those who will respond with hope and optimism. It's just amazing to see the contrast. Some who immediately need to place blame, some who immediately seek to make a solution or help to make something better. It's just amazing to see the two different responses. And when someone says that things will get better, you'll hear on the one hand those who will say, well, when I see it, then I will believe it. How many of you ever heard somebody say that? Well, when I see it, then I'll believe it. Have you ever heard that? There are other people who say, I believe it, therefore I see it. I believe that it's going to happen, therefore I see that it will happen. Now, that's the type of a person that David was. He was a person who believed that God was able. I want you to see a very significant verse as we continue our journey finding God's vision for our lives, not what we want for our lives, not where we think we should go with our lives, but when we find God's vision for our lives, there's going to be some significant scriptures that help us along the way. And one of those is Psalm 27:13, and I want you to see it with me this morning. David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now let's read that verse together by way of introduction this morning. Ready, begin. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I almost quit. He said, I almost fell down. I didn't see how I could go on another step until I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, there are people here this morning who are waiting to see, and then they're going to believe. And there are other stronger Christians, I might say, who are willing to believe, therefore they're going to see what God is going to do. And the ones who believe that God is at work and who believe that God is in control are going to have a different vision of this life than those who are waiting to see first and then believe. Yours will be a vision of faith. Yours will be an outlook of hope. And a godly hope will always come from a heart of faith. And that heart will be a heart that has a godly vision. David was not a man overtaken by circumstances. He was a man who saw that his God was greater than every circumstance. David would not faint in the day of adversity because David knew that God was at work in his life. David said there in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, I've lived a long time, but I have never seen God forget his children. Now, how many of you this morning would be willing to admit that in your life there have been times when you worried and worried and worried about something that never happened? You complained about something, you fretted about something, and looking back, you would have to say this morning in all honesty, you know what? God took care of me. All right? Most of us will be honest to say that. For the rest of you, there's an altar call right after the service this morning. Because all of us have worried in our lives about things that God just took care of. And that's what David is saying. He's saying, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God's people begging for bread. And so here is a man who believes in God because he's seen what God can do. Why is it that we have to be convinced every time over again? Why is it that we struggle to have a life of faith in God? Well, I want you to learn this morning from David's life how that his vision of faith gave him hope for his future. How that because of faith in his heart, he saw some things differently. Some of you today, all you see is the trouble in your marriage. All you see is the trouble in your community and the trouble in your job, and all you want to do is try to figure out your way to make a change. But before you do that, let's see God's perspective on life this morning. The first thing I do want you to notice this morning is the hurt of David. I want you to notice that David was a man who had hurt in his life. He was a man who had difficulty in his life. The Bible says in verse number 7 of our text this morning, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Notice what he says in verse number 9. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Now, I believe David was a man who suffered many hurts in his life. And I believe that's why the Psalms encourage us so much. Because when we're having tough times, when we're hurting in life, the Psalms have become a refuge for millions and millions of Christians because the Holy Spirit allows David here to share some of the hurts in his life. One of the hurts that he felt in his life was an alienation from fellowship. Here was a man who had times of loneliness. Now, how lonely did David get? He got so lonely that in verse number 10, he said, "When my father and my mother forsake me." He supposes that that moment is coming when his own mother and father wouldn't care, when they would forsake him. I don't know if you've ever been there in your life, but perhaps you have been. Perhaps you've been to that place where you were so lonely and in so much despair that you really wondered if even your own blood kin cared about you. You wondered if your own family would help in a time of need. David said in Psalm 69, verse 8, "I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children." He said, I came to a place in my life where I felt like I didn't even belong in my own family. I felt like I was a stranger unto my own brethren. I heard about a newspaper ad that ran in a Kansas City newspaper a while back. In the newspaper ad, literally, someone put these words, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without comment for $5 for each 30-minute period." Listed the number that you could call. The article I read said that some people first thought it was a hoax, but then they researched and found that the person who put that ad in the paper was getting between 10 and 20 calls a day from people who would willingly give their credit card and willingly pay $5 for 30 minutes just to have someone listen to them, just to talk to someone for a little while about some of the things going on in their lives. Here is a picture of someone with a lonely heart. And David was that type of a person. He was a person feeling alienated from the world. There was a group of people touring around the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. They saw many of the famous things, such as the Gutenberg Bible. They saw all of the early texts of the great books of American literature. Then they came to a special place at the Library of Congress where certain artifacts from our history were kept, and just a few things there that were brought out. One in particular was a box, and as the librarian, Dr. Daniel Borstein, showed this particular box, he said, "In this box are the contents of Abraham Lincoln's pockets on the day April the 14th, 1865. These are the things taken from his pockets the day he was killed." And in the box, he opened up the box and he showed them a handkerchief that had the embroidered initials for Abraham Lincoln. He showed them a glass case that had been sewn and obviously had been used for many, many years. He showed them a purse, a little wallet containing, of all things, a $5 bill of Confederate money. And then he showed them some old newspaper clippings. And the newspaper clippings were concerned with the great deeds of Abraham Lincoln. The newspaper clippings reported a speech by John Bright, which said, quote, "Abraham Lincoln is one of the greatest men of all times." Now, if you know anything about 1865, there were millions of people who did not think that Abraham Lincoln was a great man. He was obviously a very hated man in some quarters to the extent that his life was taken on that day. And yet, isn't it interesting that this great leader, someone who had all kinds of people around him, someone who had many, many friends and much popularity in certain quarters, this great leader was seeking solace and self-assurance from a few old newspaper clippings to the point that he carried them with him just to remind him that some people out there thought he was doing something good. You know, the fact of the matter is that loneliness even stalks where the buck stops. Here was a man at the top who felt great loneliness in his heart. It really doesn't matter what position you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make. There will come times in your life when your heart will hurt. And here David felt alienation from his friends. Secondly, he felt attacked from his foes. The Bible says in verse number 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Verse 12, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Now listen very carefully. If you intend to be a witness for Jesus, if you intend to stand up for what is right, you will have some enemies. You will not always be loved. You will not always be encouraged. If you intend to be a man who gives a gospel tract, who invites someone to church, or a lady who lives a godly life, if you intend to have a testimony at all for Jesus Christ, there will come some opposition. There will come some friction in your life. David faced these foes in two ways. First, David has false witnesses that spoke against him. Notice, if you would, the Bible speaks of this in verse number 12. "For false witnesses are risen up against me." In your notes this morning, you'll find Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, which says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." By the way, how many of you would agree with me that's a strong word in connotation with God's name? "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren." May I say, it's a terrible thing when someone outside of the faith of Jesus Christ is saying wicked and hurtful things about someone else, and it's even more appalling when a Christian Christian person is saying cruel and false and hurtful things about another Christian. And God says that David was facing that very type of difficulty in his own life. There were false witnesses rising up against him. Not only that, David says there in verse number 12, and such as breathe out cruelty. David was experiencing in his life cruelty. He was hurting because of the attacks and the cruelty that he faced. You know, we live in a day where there is much cruelty that abounds. I heard about a man who is a truck driver who just pulled into a truck stop just to have a hamburger. He sat down at the restaurant there. He was enjoying his cheeseburger, his fries, and just having a moment alone. And all of a sudden, a group of bikers came up to the restaurant, and they pulled in, rumbling their motorcycles, and they got off their motorcycles and came in to the restaurant. And as they did, they kind of began to pick on that truck driver. They began to curse him, and one of them even spit on him. And after a little while, the man was fed up with it. He just got up and walked out, and one of the bikers said to the waitress, said, "He's not much of a man, is he?" And the waitress kind of put her head down. She said, "Well, no." And she kind of looked out the window at him, and she said, "And he's not much of a driver either. He just backed his 18-wheeler over 6 motorcycles." You ever wish you could have some retribution like that on a mean person? There's a lot of meanness in this world today. There's a lot of cruelty in this world today. Psalm 38:16 says, "For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me." Do you have someone at work like that? Do you ever had another Christian like that? They're just waiting for your foot to slip so they can magnify your fault. That's what David was feeling in his heart. He said, "It just seems like people can't wait for me to do something bad. It seems like they meditate on how they can treat me more cruelly." That was David's hurt. And I say to you this morning that everyone in this room has a hurt in their heart today. And if it's not present today, there will be sometime in the future, because this is a part of life on this planet. It is a part of human nature. And David had a heart filled with hurt. But I want you to see not only the hurt of David, but I want you to see the heart of David this morning. I want you to see that David had, yes, a hurting heart, but he also had a believing heart. I want you to see this in Psalm 27 and verse 8. It says, "When thou saidst, seek my face." In other words, when God said to David, "Seek ye my face," notice this phrase, "my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Now listen very carefully. Before you said to your family, "Let's go to church," in your heart there was a desire this morning to come to church. Before you do something kind for your wife or say something kind to your wife, there's something in your heart that's kind towards your wife. And we see here in the Word of God that David had, first of all, a compliant heart or a moldable heart. He was not a hard-hearted man. He was a tender-hearted man. And he said, "My heart said, I will seek the Lord." Psalm Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You see, when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. And David had a heart that was pure. James chapter 4 speaks about the heart when it says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." How I thank God today for the cleansing work of the Bible to cleanse our hearts, because all of us can have hardness and pride and wrong thoughts that come into our hearts. It's only the Word of God that can cleanse us from that. What a blessing when God works. God's been working in the lives of some of our teenagers in our church these last few weeks. And I've received some tremendous notes from some of our teenagers just saying how God's been at work in their heart. I'm going to tell you, that's a blessing when that's happening. What a thrill. We had a godly secretary in our church years ago. Some of you remember her. Her name was Lori Thomason. Lori was one of the most thankful women I ever knew. Lori never complained. Lori was a woman who just encouraged others. She was highly efficient in her walk with God and in her work here at the church. And I remember when Lori came down with cancer and began to go through the various treatments. And this past week, I just took some time to read many of the notes and cards and memos she sent me through those days. I want to say 20 or 30 correspondences. Never once a complaint. Never once a why me. I remember time and again that godly young woman in her mid-20s as I stood at her hospital bedside, and as she said things to me like this, she said, "Pastor, I dedicated my life as a teenager to Jesus." She said, "I married a preacher." She said, "My heart's desire was that God would be glorified through my life. That's what my heart's desire is, that I could live for Jesus." And then she said several times, "But if it's not His will for me to live, if I can glorify Him through my death, then I want God to be glorified no matter what." Oh, the heart that that woman had, that heart to seek God's will, to seek to glorify God. So many who were around Lori, so many who gave emotional attention to her cause, are not even in church this morning. Why is that? Because they did not have that same tender heart that Lori had. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing more important in this life than keeping a tender, moldable heart for God. And David said, "Lord, when you asked me to seek your face, I didn't argue about it. I just sought your face." He said, "I want to seek your face." He said, "God, I want to follow your path." Notice in verse 11, the Bible says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Notice, if you would, the word plain. It means a level place. It means a righteous place. It means a straight place. Hey, teenagers, here's a great verse. God wants us to look for the straight path, not the crooked path, not the dark corners of life, not the troubled places of life. David said, "I want the right path for my life. I want to go in the right direction." David had a compliant heart. David also had a confident heart. He had a heart that even though his enemies attacked, even though troubles came, God was going to work in his life. Notice in verse 3 of Psalm 27, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?"
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and the Daily in the Word radio broadcast, coming to you from Lancaster, California, where Pastor Chappell serves as the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. The series is 2020 Vision. We're discovering God's perspective and God's vision for our daily lives. If today's message has encouraged you and you'd like to hear it again, or perhaps refer a friend, or listen to recent messages in this series 2020 Vision, you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org is a wonderful stop for spiritual resources to encourage your walk with Christ. You can listen to recent broadcasts, subscribe to a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, or subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it at your leisure and at your convenience. Perhaps consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org. Well, before we wrap up the program and share a gift with you, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
My wife Terry and I are excited about hosting the Alaska Cruise, August 6 through 13, 2011. Friends from all over the country will be joining us as we travel north to God's beautiful creation, visiting ports like Sitka and Juneau, going through the Inside Passage and seeing how powerful our God is. This cruise will be a wonderful time of Christian fellowship. I'll be speaking along with guests, Dr. David Gibbs, Dr. Don Sisk, and others. You won't want to miss this opportunity to relax and enjoy fellowship around the Word of God. For more information about the Alaska Cruise, August 6th through 13th, 2011, visit dailyintheword.org.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chapel and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you.